Fighting for Idaho.
This guy that talks about when he was 6 years old, if he wanted to be a girl, I want to be a pumpkin pie. But that doesn't mean I can climb up on the table at Thanksgiving and let everybody pick at me.
Fighting for you.
I just want to thank you, Kevin, for being there. You put your head on the line all the time. Your neck is out there. But we appreciate you and those who call in.
Boise's Mr. Right.
God bless.
Kevin Miller in the Morning, winner of the 2014 Marconi Radio Award on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
KIDO, Kevin Miller in the Morning. Good to have you with us. Phone number is 580-5436, Kevin at KIDOAM.com. The president has been at it again. By the way, this is what he's up to. Rachel?
The $4 trillion spending plan proposes raising taxes on wealthier Americans and using the windfall to give tax breaks to the middle class. It also includes more than $470 billion to bankroll highway, bridge, and transit upgrades to be financed by a one-time 14% tax on profits made by U.S. companies overseas. Members of the GOP-controlled Congress have dismissed the overall plan ever since parts of it were announced weeks ago. In Washington, Rachel Sutherland, Fox News Radio.
There we have it, the president's big plan. Of course, a tax cut, a tax break, everything rolling again and again. And I love this. Let's tax the wealthy, and we're going to give it to the middle class taxes, if you will. In other words, we're going to Dave Petzo yelling in the hallway. We got the mic on here, Dave. Anyway, the president here taking a look at going after the rich. And the rich have done well under the president. You take a look at the stock market. You take a look at everything else. The middle class has, in fact, paid the price, if you will, under this administration. A $4 trillion budget, as Rachel Sutherland has said. And not only talking about that, but the idea of a highway program, that the budget is $470 billion, which, let's face it, to fix the highways, it might be $1 trillion. Joining us now is Dave Petzo here, Kevin Miller in the Morning, 580 KIDO. Good morning, Dave.
Good morning, Kevin.
So we take a look at the president's new proposal, $4 trillion, $470 billion going to highways. He's going to tax the wealthy and give it to the middle class.
You know, they'll tax the wealthy, yes, and then they'll waste a whole bunch of money, and a couple nickels will make it to the middle class.
Well, the president.
And, of course, the middle class, actually, Kevin, is the wealthy.
Well, the president seems to think that this is the way to go. Why do you think that he's changed course, considering that he's advocating a tax that he was against when he was in the Senate, when he voted against it, number one? And number two, he spoke out against this in one of his books, by the way, this type of economics.
Oh, I'm surprised. I didn't know he knew anything about economics, that he would want to comment about it. That's so shocking. At any rate, I, Kevin, I don't know. Every time I turn around and read something, the president's proposing another tax. So it's really amazing to me that this occurs because the economy is barely getting going. This is not the time to be trying to tax to death an economy that we just found out last week was barely growing again. It's not up and going. It is not lifting off. It is slowing down again. It's fits and starts, and this economy is barely going, even with tremendous help from the Federal Reserve in the past few years. So it is certainly not time to take more oomph away from the private sector and give it to the ever-wasteful, always wasteful government.
On the other hand, and speaking of wasteful and a boom to the economy that we've talked about for, you know, it seems like such a short time, so much so that we, you know, still are adjusting to these low gas prices. It's been announced that low gas prices are over, nationwide gas prices increasing, coming to a pump near you.
Yeah.
Why?
I don't know why they'd be saying that, because energy prices are still very low. There's no reason to think they're going higher, and they're not. So unless we have an increase in taxes, fuel taxes, then gas prices should continue to stay very, very low, maybe even drift a little bit lower, Kevin. So, you know, unless energy prices spike, and nobody thinks that I know of thinks that's going to happen. Well, I'm sorry, there's a couple of wacky commentators out there trying to make a name for themselves. But that's other than that, we have an overabundance of oil now.
Which, again, it's kind of interesting when we, in the old days, if oil got to $100 a barrel, now it's slightly at $50 a barrel. That seems to be the threshold. What does that mean for people driving around in Idaho across America if gas is so cheap?
It means they've got more money in their pocket, and they're going to buy more iPhones, which, I don't know how we buy more than we did last quarter, but that's another story. But it's more consumer dollars out there. It'll take time for people to feel comfortable that it's there all the time. So it doesn't mean that as soon as you get one tank of gas or five tanks of gas that are a lot cheaper that you start changing your spending habits. But people will, to a degree, spend part of the roughly $1,000 a year the average person has extra.
Speaking of Apple, I've been waiting for you since I read this article here, and we've been getting ready to talk a little bit about Apple. Apple earned $18 billion in the quarter, more than any other company ever in a single quarter, on revenue of $75 billion. Now, here's the skinny on this. It's free cash flow, and you'll have to break this stuff down for us.
Mm-hmm.
$30 billion, that's more than double of what IBM generates in a year. How big, how powerful is Apple Computer?
Unbelievable. The quarter they had is just literally off the charts. It, of course, as you pointed out, Kevin, is the biggest quarter that any corporation has ever had in history, profitability-wise. It's extraordinary. But it is also, to give you an idea, they now have $178 billion of cash, right? $178 billion. This is not too many numbers. You can follow this. And we've got – that's more than the total value of 90% of the companies in the S&P 500. That's the total value. That's all their factories and all that. They have it sitting in cash, more than 90%. And these are not 90% of the companies. They're bigger than 99.9% of the companies out there. This is 90% of the biggest companies in America in the S&P 500. That's how big they are. We bought iPhones meaning the whole world. This is how global it is, and that's is so important to gather, because otherwise you would have said 1 in 3 Americans bought iPhones. Well, they didn't. But 74.5 million iPhones were bought. That's 34,000 per hour, 24 hours a day for the entire quarter. 34,000 iPhones. An hour.
I see you've done some research, Dave.
I found it unreal.
That was my next line. Now, here's an article that I've put on my Facebook. How and why Apple overtook Microsoft. You have Microsoft, who was the belle of the ball yesterday at the Super Bowl. Their current value, $338 billion. Apple's value right now, $683 billion. But you go back to some of the challenges that Apple might have. Remember, Microsoft's fate was tied to Windows. Apple seems to be tied to the iPhone,
mm-hmm.
which accounted for 69% of its revenue. Is that a good thing?
It's a great thing.
One product?
Yeah, I mean, you all wish that you had 50 great products, right? But you don't. And the company has such a great dominant product that that's okay. I'm sure that they're working on other things, and this will diminish over time. You're not going to have 70%, but I'm sure they're very happy with the results of the iPhone. So, yes, we can all doubt that they're going to be able to keep this up, but that's the same discussion we've had for 3 years. It really is, Kevin. People have talked about this for many, many hundreds of a percent ago in the stock price, many billions ago in profits. They've been worried about only being a one-hit wonder, you know, and with Steve Jobs is gone, how is Cook going to do? And now Cook is the current hero. You know, there's always concerns with a company, and rightfully so. Is this the top? I think that the best decision people have made with Apple is to go ahead and own it as long as it continues to knock the cover up off the ball, and it is, and quit trying to guess where the top is.
Dave Pezzo with us, the Pezzo Center, Pezzo Financial. Kevin Miller in the morning here at 580 KIDO. Let's get back to Microsoft. What's in it for them? Microsoft, at one time you have Bill Gates saying that he could never see a world where Steve Jobs would ever be bigger and more profitable than Microsoft. Microsoft pretty much in a lull. Yes, they had a lot of product placement yesterday at the Super Bowl, but we don't see a lot of innovation from Microsoft.
No, they haven't been innovating, and they seem to be trying to do some new things. Meaning, their upgrades are not making people angry. And finally, in this last upgrade, they're doing it for free, which is what Apple. One of the things that Apple has done all along. You don't have to keep buying; they just do free upgrades all the time, and their apps are very, very inexpensive. Not true with Microsoft. Microsoft makes you angry at them, the way Apple makes you love. love them. So it's a real different dynamic, and we're going to see. I think Microsoft isn't done yet, but they are trying to reinvent themselves, Kevin, and they have to.
Well, they seem to have an issue with the phones, kind of late to the game with the phones and everything else. And you know, what you have is you have the Android system, you have your Apple, Microsoft trying to find its way. And I don't know how many people think that a Microsoft anything is cool. It's because you have to use it at work.
That's right.
Not a lot of people are going, woo, look at the graphics.
Exactly, exactly. And they're willing. You know, we're talking about the iPhone here, but look at all the Macs that were sold. What, 5.5 million of Macs? Just in the quarter. And people talk about the diminishing computer and the tablets, everything else that Apple has done, because people want to be in the Apple system with all of their products. That's something that Microsoft could have only dreamed of. Maybe they did dream of it, but they sure screwed it up.
So what does that mean for the consumer? More choices?
It does.
Better value, maybe?
In my mind, yes. And I mean, if I want to pay more for an Apple, and you have to pay more for an Apple, you have to pay more for a Mac, because I don't get gouged every time there's an upgrade, then maybe I'm really not paying more. But the point is Microsoft, Amazon getting into the phones, getting into the tablets, all of these different companies that are trying to get into Apple's business, it's all good for the consumer, all good.
Here's the other thing, and let's get back to local here. Then we have our friends at HP, at one time innovators. We discussed them getting out of the tablet business, then back into the tablet business, then in the printing business, then we're going to redefine it. We have a lot of, as you cover all the time, we have a lot of jobs here in the Treasure Valley from HP.
We do. And
so where are they?
They're continuing to try to find some traction somewhere. The great hope, I think, for HP is going to be 3D printing. That's going to clearly be the great hope for them. That's where they could just radically shift the future course of this corporation. But 3D printing is real. It's mind-numbingly amazing. I can't get over, the telephone still amazes me. But what this 3D is going to do to everything from medicine to automotive is just crazy. And if they can get out in front of this, it could really change this company. And that's what I think the great hope is. Right now, they don't have a great business, Kevin.
More coming up with our friend Dave Pezzo next. You're listening to Kevin Miller, 580 KIDO. Let's get you to work safely and
in your trust every morning. Kevin Miller, 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Up all night. 580 KIDO, Kevin Miller in the morning. As we continue on, phone numbers 580-5436, 580 KIDO. Dave Pezzo with us, Pezzo Financial, Pezzo Center. You watched the Super Bowl at all?
I did. I did watch it a little bit, yeah.
What was your takeaway from the ads? We've got the winners and losers broken down here, but the overall experience, I mean, is it really possible to make entertainment business friendly? All these firms trying to do remarkable things and get the it ad, if you will.
Yeah, I think that's great from the standpoint of creativity. It's always fun to watch them spend vast amounts of money and really try to think outside the box to create something. But I didn't find anything at all, wowing me. But again, usually on the commercials, I don't stand there and watch. It was time to clean up my house a little bit and stuff, so I was working a little bit too.
Well, thank you for letting us know what you were doing. We appreciate that. We have some of the winners. Budweiser, sticking with its formula of puppies and Clydesdales. A lot of people seem to like the Chevrolet commercial, where you're sitting there and all of a sudden they have a view of the Super Bowl and your TV goes out. Now, I looked over at Mrs. Miller and said, well, looks like Al-Qaeda got the Super Bowl. And you hate to joke about that. And I said, somewhere somebody's going crazy. And it was brilliant how they said, well, if you have the Chevy truck with Wi-Fi, you can go out and watch the game in your truck.
Right, right.
You know, how effective was that, do you think?
I think that's very effective. It just shows you how wired everything is, right? And it's not unique, but I think it's a good visual. I think that's well done.
So some of the other ones that I think caught our attention is Lindsay Lohan with Esurance and Bryan Cranston reviving his character of Walter White in Breaking Bad, where he's the pharmacist. And, I'm sort of Ralph. I'm a blah, blah, blah. It really, that ad, I think, effectively did something that we want everything to do. It showed, not told.
Right, right.
You know,
right.
About insurance, that they treat everybody the same, yet we're not the same.
Right.
Some of the other ones, we have the Snickers ad, the losers. People said Nationwide showed a boy riding a school bus, lamenting that he'd never learned to fly or travel. Weight Watchers. I'm trying to think of any others that really resonated. To me, it was, and it was voted, the number one ad was the Budweiser ad with the puppies.
They always win, don't they?
Doesn't have a lot to do with beer.
No,
but.
No, but it's image. It's that's all. In fact, I thought it was interesting on one of them, you know, that they were doing, that they're now trying to get around. They're hitting back on the microbrews. I remember seeing one of those.
Right.
Where they were kind of saying, you know, real beer drinkers drink Bud.
Right, your
cherry. They don't drink, or pumpkin ale or pumpkin spice ale or whatever.
Right.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you what, I like my pumpkin spice ale, so just take your Bud.
And you like to keep a tidy house during the Super Bowl. All right, we've learned a lot here this morning. We'll see if the headphones work here. If not, we'll just play the clip. Liberal Steve joins Dave Pezzo and Kevin Miller here at 580 KIDO. Good morning, Liberal Steve.
Good morning, Kevin. Good morning, Mr. Pezzo.
Good morning.
I'm always afraid to park in your lot because it says it will be towed away if not using your business.
That's that's right. We had to put up some new signs. People decide that they're just going to go ahead and slap it there. So, yeah.
Oh, but I shop across the street.
Okay. So, you're going to get on with
anyway,
it here, buddy.
Yeah, Google. I mean, 2 months ago, Google mentioned their scanner, medical scanner, and said the medical system has to start catching up, where they could detect cells, cancer cells in the human body, when they were so small that they couldn't cause any damage and they could be eradicated. So I think that's going to go huge. I think Google stocks are going to go crazy, and they've been talking about their phones, so I'm excited. I mean, they control, besides everything else on your computer, Google controls the search engines. I think, myself, they're going to go absolutely astronomical.
Well, they have.
I'll hang up and listen.
Well, thank goodness that you're going to hang up. But there's a company that's diversified where, you know, he brings I hate to say this, but Liberal Steve brings up a great point that you have Google just not satisfied being a search engine company.
Not at all.
But they've diversified. Self-driving cars are running around the Google campus and everything.
Yeah, I told you about that conference I was at, and one of that was Google. They showed a Google car driving around the parking lot, and I'm telling you, fast. It was driving fast, really fast. They're probably very close to being able to do it now. Anyway, his point's good. Google is a dominant company. They have expanded into other areas, and that's all good. The stock has been languishing a little bit as of late because Google has not been growing in the social media space, which, of course, is the hot space right now. They have been spending less now on Google Glass and all these other things. Something big happened last week, Kevin, and this is something to keep an eye on. Amazon and Google, their stocks shot up after announcing earnings. Now, when you looked at Google, the first glance, their earnings numbers were just terrible, absolutely abysmal. But something happened in the conference call. Google said they were concerned about the stock price and profits. This is the first time that they've said anything except, we really don't care about, you know, how much money we spend on harebrained ideas. That's a very important change for the company. It doesn't mean they're not going to be innovating and creating. It just means that they are aware and that profits are real and important. And apparently Amazon is too, because their stock rocked more than 10% the day after they showed some profits for the first time in years. So
they're not interested in profits.
And therefore the stock market isn't very interested in Amazon anymore either. They are more interested now, and their stock did respond very well. So I think that Google is very, very interesting, and I agree with Steve. It's an interesting company. I own it. It's actually a very large holding of mine. It's certainly been a successful holding of mine.
Well, thank you for that disclosure. We've learned that you have Google. You tidy your home.
Well, I was out of town, Kevin. Needed tidied sometime. I did laundry too.
This is what we call the tune-out factor. As compelling as laundry is, we get Liberal Steve in your parking spots. Anything that we should be looking out for this week, sir?
You don't want to know what I cooked last night?
Oh, boy.
Yes, we should. You know what we're going to watch for? We're going to watch for
Petso on cooking. Yes.
Yes. We are going to watch this week for the continued earnings announcements, and that is going to be the big driver this week. I know everybody wants to talk about Greece and things like that on the global stage. What's going on in the Ukraine? I think these are just noisy events continuing, and they will continue. But the you talk about the tune-out factor, Kevin. People are tuned out on those two items right now. They're just not that important to them right now. It's about earnings, and it's about the strengthening dollar. That's what's going to drive the market.
Now, if Jeff Bridges were next to you humming while you were sleeping like he was in those disturbing ads, what would you do?
I don't know what I would do.
I'd punch him in the face.
Yeah, get up and... Yeah.
Is that the biggest waste of money or
I
what?
I think it is, yeah. I think those are... Sometimes they try to be so cool that I don't get it. But I understand. I'm not really particularly cool.
I think the whole... The point behind it was that you can create your own website like Jeff is doing Answers with Jeff or something like that.
Right, right. I know. I'm sure it was really cool. But I would rather have the GoDaddy hot girls dance around or something like that I never really understood what had to do with the website.
Maybe they could help you clean the Petso Center.
There you go.
No free parking there. All right, 7:31. Dave Petso, this weekend, 8 to 10, Money Matters, here at 580 KIDO.
Ramsey, weekdays at noon. Now back to Kevin Miller on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Men, 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 manly men, 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 manly men, men, men.
Men, 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 manly men.
5:38, Kevin Miller in the morning. It is the Manly Man Show segment. Dave Burnett with us. Good morning, Dave.
Good morning. You scared me. I thought we'd change the whole show to the Manly Man segment.
No. Well, at least it would be the Manly Man show from 5:30 to 6.
Oh, okay.
So, what do you want to talk about today? Bill Belichick, bondage, or prostitution?
Bill Belichick, bondage, or go with brothels. That way it's all B's. The alliteration is very good. Bill Belichick, bondage, or brothels?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Let's do Belichick. That's going to be dated pretty quick.
Well, Bill Belichick proving once again that he is, if not the most brilliant, one of the most brilliant coaches in the world. It was revealed how he kind of suckered Pete Carroll into making that pass or calling that pass play. And have you read about that at all?
I have not read about it. Okay. I have heard about it.
Well, essentially people were saying for Belichick, why isn't he calling timeouts? Well, if he called timeouts, that would encourage Seattle to run. So Seattle, and they had studied Carroll enough to know that he gets hyper-aggressive when he's at the goal line, like he did in the first half, the second quarter. And so they figured the tendency would be for Carroll to throw. Now, if the Patriots had called a timeout, it would have been about a minute six. There would have been no incentive for the Seahawks to throw. Therefore, they would have run because they would assume if they didn't get it, the Patriots would call another timeout. If they threw and had an incompletion, you'd have 56 seconds left on the clock with a third down. So the feeling was, and since the Seattle Seahawks were chaotic anyway, they blew a timeout down there anyway because they were panicked and they wanted to win and inexperienced or whatever. Belichick decided to let it ride, and he wasn't going to bail them out. Case in point, Carroll decided to throw on second down, therefore leaving the option to run on third and fourth down. He wouldn't have to burn his timeout. And apparently, now you talk about statistics, in the entire NFL, there were over 100 attempts at passes at the one-yard line. They either resulted in an incomplete or a touchdown. There had never been one interception the entire year of the NFL, except for the most important one. So, and Belichick had drilled them so much on that particular play, as you know, that the rookie cornerback from West Alabama that was frying chicken, they called him a free guy because they had their roster set, but they called him scrappy, that he had worked so hard they had to find a place for him, and he had been burned so many times during the Super Bowl week that he knew as soon as he saw that formation what the Seahawks were going to do.
Who from New England said all this?
Sal Palantonio talked to members of the player, the team, and they talked to the coaching staff on background.
See, I don't think it's all that complicated. I don't think it's that all of those stats were figured out and within seconds it was done. I mean, could it have been that Belichick didn't want to call timeouts because did he maybe just figure let's let him score and let Brady try to do his magic?
No, that's exactly wrong.
According to who?
According to the articles that I've read and everyone else, they didn't let him score. They got an interception. Everybody was saying let him score. If they would have let him score, Lynch would have went in when he got stopped at the one. Mm-hmm. They knew they had to stop him because in the their previous two losses, they never had enough time left. And people are going, well, you know, give Brady 50 seconds. Belichick wasn't about that. He wanted the chaos, the burden to be on the Seahawks. He wasn't going to bail them out and let them score.
Yeah, I think that's, to me, that's the pundits overthinking the whole thing a little bit.
How can you overthink one of the greatest plays in Super Bowl history and the fact that everything with the Patriots, as with most NFL teams, is predetermined? I mean, they drill the heck out of those guys, and they just sat back and said, look, let it roll, see if they can score. And if Lynch would have run on second down, if they would have run Lynch, they would, and he didn't get in, two things would have happened. If he got in, New England would have had 20-some seconds.
Mm-hmm.
If he didn't get in, then Seattle would have had to call their timeout, which would have ensured a pass on third down. You can tell I don't have a life because I've read every article here.
Yeah, see, you're overthinking this. Right. Your brain's about to explode
but
in
yes,
there.
Yes, and again, tell me about the president's budget deal. Yes, I'm proving my point here. And then the fourth down, it could have been a run-pass option. But, again, remember, these guys, this is their livelihood. This is everything. Pete Carroll is still saying, it was the right call. It was the right call. Members of his team, now people in the saying it was a conspiracy by the NFL to make sure that that Marshawn Lynch wasn't the MVP because they wanted Russell Wilson to be.
I know. It's like, okay, there's not that many seconds in that time to figure all that out.
Yeah.
I just question, why would Pete Carroll want to throw? I mean, you have eight guys jammed in the box. Why would you throw right into the middle of the box would be my question.
Well, Pete Carroll explained it because he went to his three wide receiver set and the Patriots said, okay, we're going to be in our goal line basic. And Pete Carroll said the matchup there was not to his advantage.
Mm-hmm.
And Lynch hadn't scored from the one or whatever. So anyway, but still a great game.
It was. It was a great game. I just think it's all being overthought by the pundits. It's like, quit. I mean, there wasn't that much time for all this, that, and the other, and the computer models show that. That's like the weather guys. The European computer model showed that he should have. Stop. Pete Carroll made a bad call. New England came up with a big play. Patriots win.
Yes. Simple Patriots win.
They did. Simple as that. Now yeah. Marshawn Lynch, will they re-sign him? Don't know.
Well, then you've got Darrell Revis. He's set to make $20 or $25 million.
Oh, they'll cut him loose.
This year. There's a possibility they're going to restructure that. If he becomes an unrestricted free agent, Buffalo and the Jets are looking at him. Also, you've got Vince Wilfork and everything else. Okay, I've done with my Patriots review and commentary. Okay, so are we going to brothels?
Let's go to brothels. That's not very long. That's Warren Sapp, NFL Hall of Famer, arrested the night after the Super Bowl.
Yeah, you know, they call him Big Dummy Sapp. And here's a guy that media personality, went to one Super Bowl, was allegedly the best ever. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden he makes a lot of dumb statements, particularly about people that, have achieved a lot. Michael Strahan, always dripped Strahan. Well, say what you want about Michael Strahan. He's not soliciting prostitutes and roughing them up after the Super Bowl.
Michael Strahan probably at this point in time the most successful post-NFL player out there. He's on everything and is loved by everyone. Warren Sapp, now unemployed because he's trying to pick up a hooker and then allegedly is threatening her.
Have you ever been propositioned by a hooker?
Yes. Yes, I have. In New Orleans. Imagine that.
Would you like to tell us about it?
Well, I just came up and was trying to flatter the other morning show host I was with. We were waiting for a big radio programmers meeting in this bar. And came up, started flattering us and telling us, yeah, we're just college girls out having fun. You guys want to have fun? It's like, okay, I'm not that stupid.
Well, how do you know she was a prostitute?
Kevin.
I'm just saying, maybe came down from LSU or whatever.
She all but had a flashing light on her.
Well, don't they have price tags or something?
Yeah, I think so.
Blue light special or something?
But that was the only time, that one time. Mm. But it was just so blatant. It's like, okay, you're not interested in a couple of frumpy guys here. You know, your young college girls down from Temple or wherever you say you're from. You're not interested in a couple of frumpy radio guys, please.
Maybe they wanted to get into broadcasting and wanted to...
then they're talking to the wrong people. Mm. But, yeah. But no. That has happened one time in my life.
I see.
Well, that I'm aware of.
You never know. For me, I actually had my picture taken with a lady of the night.
Nice.
It's kind of weird because... You know, I've gone into bars and I've not drank in my life. Is that the drank?
Sure.
Exactly. So I would go into bars. I was in Panama, and I hooked up with this guy. No, not that way.
Well, okay.
This guy who had he was a satellite guy. And this is like in 88. I guess 87.
He was a satellite guy,
right? There's a big mountain in Panama, Panama City, where I guess it was pre-NSA stuff, and I actually got to go in and check out what he did. He monitored the satellite all night. So he goes, "Hey man, you want to go out?" I go, "Sure." So I'm trying to remember the song that was playing. I think it was a Van Halen song. And so we're driving around, people selling monkey meat on the corners, and we go into this bar, and really attractive lady, and. So I go, "Hey, man, can I get my picture taken with her?" And then I go, "Hey, look, everybody, I went out on a date last night," which I didn't. But they all thought that I hooked up with a hooker. And she was a pretty popular young lady.
So it's a volcano that's in Panama.
Wonder what she's doing now.
Well, she's probably not even around. Is it Baru? Is that the mountain you're talking about in Panama?
The big one with the big flag on it. It's a U.S. military facility.
Okay.
That's all I know. And I'll tell you, man... It was pretty wild driving through Panama playing American music. And
they love American music.
Crazy, crazy country. But I digress. So we've done brothels. Is this our attempt to be like Matt Lauer and George Stephanopoulos? Would you be Lauer and I would be Stephanopoulos?
Mm.
I don't want to be Charlie
Rose. I don't want to be either one of those guys.
Al Roker?
Okay.
You're going to be Al Roker?
It's going to 90% chance of rain today, everybody, coming down in the afternoons. There.
So this 50 Shades of Grey movie's coming out, and you're very concerned about it.
You know, I mean, the book came out, and then everybody, you know, was all about the 50 Shades of Grey. And here's my concern about it. In that...
Well, what's it about?
Well, 50 Shades of Grey is about some guy that's into bondage, and he gets this innocent woman into, you know, bondage and different kinky
sex
acts.
Are there really innocent women? I'm just asking the question, ladies.
Well, you're diverting. You're changing the direction of what
I'm apologize.
Saying.
I apologize. I'm going to zip it.
Here's my fear with all of this. And watching yesterday, Natalie Morales on the Today Show, they were talking about 50. They showed the official trailer, you know, where they were picking out some sort of a whip or something. I'm not sure what it was. And then there was something about duct tape, and they came back, and Natalie and some of the other women are kind of laughing, going, "Ooh, duct tape, I wonder what that's for," and making light of all this. And what concerns me about this is that while somebody, you know, might want to be into, and I'm trying to do this delicately and
family friendly. Aren't you supposed to be, like, watching the traffic?
Oh, I got TV monitors in here too.
So you're watching TV. What if there was an accident? You're with the Natalie Morales and the tape.
Again. You are deflecting and making the train go off the track. Here's my concern with all this, and it's one thing, you know, somebody wants to read or whatever, but you're going to get some creepy guys that's going to take advantage of this and abuse women, and then they're going to wonder why is the abuse of women up. When some guy's suddenly going, "Oh, you're willing to let me duct tape you?" And then takes advantage of her and abuses her.
I have to interrupt. That is a very important message, but you are just leaving so many clips that should be used out of context.
None will be used out of courtesy to the co-host of the Manly Man Show.
I'm telling you, this is just delightful that
But it's just that, you know, seriously, my concern is that women will be abused, and then people are going to ask, well, why are women being abused? Because a man's mind doesn't work like a woman's mind. I'm sorry.
You know how a woman's mind works?
It doesn't work like a man's mind.
I'm just asking.
I'm just telling. Okay. It does not work like a man's mind.
Really?
And while 50 Shades of Grey may be erotica to some women, it's a license
I'm getting
to some men.
You saying erotica.
It's a license to some men. And I mean that in all seriousness.
Oh,
and
I
concerns
too,
me.
But man, it's a little early for erotica.
Well, that's fine. But it does. It just concerns me.
Yeah, well, don't get involved with the bad men.
Well, easy said, but when it's being spoon-fed by, like, the Today Show, and they're not the only ones, and as this movie gets closer to release, you're going to see more and more of it. You know, and when you have people who own pleasure shops, as it were, or adult shops, who are millionaires because of the products they're selling, it just concerns me. And, you know, if somebody wants to use the products, that's fine, but it's just going to be spoon-fed that all this is okay.
Okay. Can I jump in here?
Sure.
Thanks.
It's about to be your show.
Well, it usually is during this time where it's called sharing. Let's go back to me just talking about Bill Belichick.
It's not.
Why? Better than you about bondage.
Is it?
Yes.
Let's take a vote. Take the poll, everybody, at 580KIDO.com. Oh, boy. Now you're going to sit there and pout.
I think we will have legislation.
No.
This is just me.
This isn't the gay guy casting the gay vote for the gay bill.
I just had to add some levity.
Okay.
I had to add some gay.
If that's
gay in the happy way.
If that's levity.
It is. Anyway, a very important message here this morning. 553, 40 degrees in Boise, Dave Burnett.
Yes, it is. And your traffic now is you're coming out of Canyon County. And
Sean Hannity, weekdays at 3. Now, back to Kevin Miller on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
559, Kevin Miller in the morning. Coming up next, our great friend, Alan L. Morton, attorney at law, is with us. He's going to take a look at the prospective attorney general. We'll also talk about his favorite topic, and really our favorite topic, and that would be textbooks for teachers, textbooks for students. Why isn't that mandatory in Idaho schools? Let's talk.
Idaho's